Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, right? The 21st of July. This hour, we're going to be doing our open line for the month of July before the month escapes us, a chance for you, and you're always very good about giving us important suggestions. We followed through, well, we can't on all of your suggestions, but on many of them. So we're asking you to call. One line is open at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for your suggestions of what you'd like to hear between the hours of 9-11 in the morning here on the Ideas Network. Couple of announcements for you. We've been focusing a great deal on healthcare, as you know. We are going to be carrying National Public Radio's live coverage of President Barack Obama's press conference tomorrow. And as you can imagine, he's expected to focus on healthcare. This will be at 8 o'clock tomorrow. So be sure and tune in for that. You'll be able to hear it tomorrow at 8. We are planning a major conference on healthcare, and we hope to have people from the administration here. We're going to be doing a live remote in September, so you may want to mark that on your calendar, September 16, a live broadcast from Frederick Hospital, and we'll be talking with people who are on the medical end of delivering medical services. We'll have people who have had a hard time getting health insurance. We will have people from the insurance industry. We're inviting people from the administration to talk about what the plans are. Who knows where this debate's going to be come September, but we are going to be doing a live conference and inviting you to this. So mark the date, September 16th. And as you know, we're continuing our series of programs on healthcare, looking at various countries. We've already looked at Canada. We have looked at what the proposals are before our country right now. We will, in future weeks, on Tuesdays, be looking at France, the United Arab Emirates, and maybe there are other places you would like to suggest that you'd like to hear an hour-long program on that. What else did I have to say? Oh, yeah. Thursday, we're going to Appleton. And we're going to be talking with people from the planetarium. We're going to be at the museum in Appleton. I'll give you more details as this hour progresses. And we'll have political scientists with us. So we're inviting you, if you'd like, to come to that broadcast and have lunch with us. And we'll give you information about signing up, as we go along here today. I think that's it. I didn't see the moon last night. Did you see the moon last night? I was so excited to see the moon after yesterday's great show. I love that guest, but they didn't know moon. Too bad. All right, maybe there was, and it was too late, or I don't know where it was. Here's the phone number, 800-486-8655. Brad is calling us first from Grand Rapids. Hello, Brad.
Hi, Kathleen. I had two quick points to make and also a guest suggestion.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk about single payer.
Mm-hmm.
Americans spend around $8,000 per person on health care, whereas Europeans and Canadians only spend about half that. And I was thinking if the U.S. invested all that money into a single-payer system, it would offer quite a few more benefits than the single-payer systems in Europe and in Canada, and it wouldn't cost us any more money than what we're paying now.
Mm-hmm.
So that made sense to me. And also, with single-payer, and this is never mentioned, is that it doesn't limit folks to a network like HMOs do now. So you could virtually see almost any doctor in the country, like the Europeans can.
Mm-hmm.
And also, even conservative parties in Europe are strong advocates for their universal healthcare systems. So that was my first point. And then I had a second one, too. Kip Sullivan, who is affiliated with the Minnesota chapter of Physicians for National Health Plan. I think you had one of their representatives on a month or two ago with the PNHP.org group.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great article on their website yesterday talking about the public option and how the Democrats have really watered it down because of pressure from Big Pharma and the insurance industry and the Republicans. And originally, it was supposed to cover 130 million people, but the House bill has it only covering 10 million people right now. And the Senate, what they're proposing in the Senate, doesn't even have it covering anybody. And the CBO, that's the Congressional Budget Office, says that under this House bill, where it would only cover 10 million people, that premiums would be the same as what private insurance companies would offer. So there really might not be that much benefit to this tiny, watered-down public option that's currently in the House bill.
All right, so you'd like for us to look at a public option.
And single-payer
system.
This guy,
okay.
Kip Sullivan, would be a great guess.
Okay. Great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brad, for your call. Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen. I was in Wakanda, Illinois, a couple of weeks ago for a Civil War encampment, and I was talking to a lady there from Janesville, worked in the Department of Social Services, and what she told me, the number sounded astronomical, that by this day at night, they go around to different places, and this is Rock County, and they give out food and blankets, and she figured that by the first of the year, Rock County would have a homeless population of about 5,000.
Mm.
And we've also got some here in Richland County, and I'm wondering if you can't do a show on homeless in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, sure could. We can sure do that.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Eugene.
Yep.
Kurt is next from Springbrook. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, I'd like to hear you interview Derek Jensen about his article in Orion Magazine this month. It's titled Forget Shorter Showers. There's been a lot of discussion about it on the Orion website, and it seems there's a lot of confusion about the point he's trying to make. So I think it'd be great to hear you talk to him about that.
What is the point?
That our personal actions, like taking shorter showers, for example, aren't going to save the planet, that we need to do more politically. It seems to me that's what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like he uses an extreme example, like Nazi Germany, you know, people didn't plant gardens to stop the Nazis. You know, they had to do more direct action, and it seems to me that's what he's trying to say, but I'm not entirely sure myself.
Okay, well, we'll look at Orion. That's a great magazine. So,
thanks.
Okay, thanks for the call. Mike from Milwaukee, hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Mike.
You know, I called in last week, and I think it might have been a morning host, had a guest on who poo-pooed me, and I think he might have been a history professor or something, and he said he never heard of this guy. And I really would like to hear somebody talk about Major General Smedley Butler, because I was just amazed that neither the guest nor the host knew about this guy. He was a United States Marine Corps general, and when he was in the Boxer Rebellion, he realized later that he made the world safe for corporations to take over and exploit resources of other countries. And by the way, just a sideline, he did have a booklet. It's on the internet. You can read it. He made the first military industrial speech in the 30s, prior to Eisenhower, and he warned about that situation. Well, anyway, this guy was approached by Rockefeller and a lot of corporate people and corporations. They wanted to have him become a leader because he had the respect and love of the men that he was under, and they felt he could raise like about a 300,000 man army and take over the FDR administration. What he did is he went along with them, got their names, got the plans, turned it over to Congress, and Congress, you can read some of the minutes of Congress, but they swept it under the carpet. Because what FDR said, supposedly, and I've been doing a little bit of studying on this, he said, you know, we got a major war going on here, and the economy's in the tank, and we just can't bother ourselves with this. We got more important fish to fry. And it sounds so familiar to what's going on today with the Bush administration. And
the Bush administration? Okay. Is there a book about this guy?
No, You know what? A book should be written.
Right.
Honest to God, even your I think it was your substitute in last week. Could have been Ben Marin's, but he even said this would make a great movie. But it really needs to be a book because this guy is a major. He saved democracy that day when he turned them in, and he wrote a book. A little booklet. You can read his own writing, and if you just change out the canvas, the leather strappings, and the mules and stuff like that, and put Humvees in there and night vision goggles or something, you would swear that was being written for the Iraqi War.
Okay.
But check it out. I know there's got to be somebody out there that really knows a lot about this guy.
All right, Mike. Thanks very much for your call. We go next to Jackie from Drummond. Hi, Jackie.
Yes, this is probably kind of an unpopular subject, but I think behind the scenes we are not aware of how much our economy depends upon a good war. We've got to keep these wars going, as evidenced by a little business and Spooner Stresso Lab, part of the military-industrial complex for a long time. And then now Oshkosh is getting contracts to make off-road trucks for Afghanistan. Now, what are we talking about? Off-road trucks for Afghanistan, does that mean we're going to be there forever? And then also, at one time, Governor Doyle was all out of joint when we wanted to close bases. So we, as citizens, we have to realize that we are dependent upon a good war to make our economy go. And I know it's a tough thing in the time of recession. It would really be kind of interesting just to focus on Wisconsin and find out how much of our economy is built on the military, and can we continue to afford that? And also the space program is part of that, but we could just, that could be another show. But I think that's very interesting. You know, this other chap referred to the military-industrial complex, and, you know, when we have it right in our backyard and, you know, how people justify their living, you know, and making things, you know, not so much trucks, but munitions like in Stressel Lab that, you know, kill other people so we can eat. So I think that is a well-kept secret that needs a little bit more developing.
Right.
But I don't have any speakers, so maybe somebody would have an idea of who to get, but it shouldn't be too hard.
All right, Jackie, thank you. Let's go to Drew from Madison. Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like you to have somebody on, or maybe a couple of guests within an hour, talking about the different types of fishing that are available in Wisconsin. You know, we have Lake Michigan. We have all sorts of other smaller lakes. If we could just have a couple of guests talking about different types of fish that you can catch in each of the different areas of the state, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, it's not quite exactly what we do during these hours, but I know that Larry's probably done shows on this. Larry Mueller, who's on in the 11 to 12:30 hours. So
yeah.
It's probably something more up his alley than what we would do, but I agree with you. It would be fun.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Drew. We have some lines open. The number is 800-486-8655, and this is our open line for the month of July. Fred from Wisconsin Rapids, hi.
Hi. I was hoping that you could have on a journalist by the name of Barbara Bradley Haggerty.
Mm-hmm.
And she has written a book that's just been published in June called Fingerprints of God: The Search for the Science of Spirituality. And I think I heard her on National Public Radio, and she's the religious correspondent for NPR. But I think she'd be wonderful if you could have her on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Okay.
Very interesting story she has to tell of herself. She was a former Christian Scientist, and her search for spirituality, life after death, and then all the investigations that she had done on after-death experiences, interviewing nuns, on and on and on, to say that there is life after death.
Okay.
So I've got the book right in front of me. I was able to get that on interlibrary loan. So,
okay.
But I'm so impressed by her. I just want to hear as much from her as I possibly can.
Okay. Thank you, Fred, for your suggestion.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
More phone calls in a moment. The number is 800-486-8655. And if you can't get through, you can always send emails. And here are our email addresses. You should send it to Rhonda Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. You can send it to both of us. Just type in both names. And Dunn K at WPR.org. Dunn K at WPR.org. We always enjoy hearing from you. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, John Coy will be with us, an award-winning author, educator. His books include Night Driving, Strong to the Hoop, and Crackback. And he is concerned that there aren't enough books written for young adults and adolescents, for boys, that reflect the interests that they have, and it causes them to lose interest in reading, which is not a good thing. So he will be with us the second hour of our program today. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. I want to remind you that on Thursday of this week, this coming Thursday from 9 to 11, we're taking our show on the road to Appleton, broadcasting from the History Museum at the Castle. Professor George Waller will be with us from the Department of Political Science at UW-Fox Valley, and Professor of Government Jason Brozek from Lawrence University will be talking about the president's speech on Wednesday night, the economy, and headlines from around the world. And after that, we'll be talking with the director of the Barlow Planetarium, who will talk about astronomy and Barlow's Bad Astronomy Summer Program, which offers a pretty unique approach to learning about the cosmos based on a popular book and website that have the same name. Tickets to attend the live broadcast are $15. If you'd like some more information about Thursday's broadcast, then you should. Oh, and we should tell you that, you know, we're not worth 15 bucks, but you get food for this. Price includes broadcast, admission to the museum, and a light lunch. So there, now it's a deal. 800-749-3906 is the number for you to call. 800-749-3906. For those of you who are in the area, we'd like to see you. All right, back to phone calls. Patrick is next from Rhinelander. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning.
Hi.
I love this show. My suggestion was that we have some accountability of the states for their the monies, I guess, required for licensing of ATVs, snowmobiles, and boats. The trail systems and how they've been ignored, but yet they're the lifeblood of northern Wisconsin and have been very popular in southern Wisconsin. Bicycle trails, cross-country, running trails, kayaking. We have no accountability of almost $20 million in registration fees. So I guess that was the show idea. You could bring on maybe WAFTA, Randy Harding, or talk to someone in the state.
Okay.
And that would be, I guess, my suggestion.
How's the weather up there? We're heading up north for vacation.
It's beautiful. Today's 70-plus.
Perfect.
It's a little hazy, but it's supposed to be a gorgeous weekend.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Let's go to Bruce from West Milwaukee. Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
Hi.
Kathleen, you had a wonderful show on high-speed rail a while ago, and I think that needs to be followed up in the context of creating an economy that's not based on war and gas. And you know, the high-speed rail initiative is moving ahead somehow, but how is it happening? When are we going to be able to go to Madison? When's that going to actually occur? And, you know, this business about, you know, having wars to keep our economy going so we can eat. I mean, things like high-speed rail and light rail and different kinds of engines for automobiles, all this stuff creates a whole new economy. And, you know, we live in Milwaukee where you have a company like Harley-Davidson that's stuck in a paradigm of gas-guzzling $35,000, you know, toys. Why aren't they developing a three-wheel car with a hub on it, or a bubble or something? You know, where's the creativity and the ingenuity that we hear so much about? I don't see it happening.
A three-wheel car with a bubble? What are you talking about? A bubble?
Well, I'm talking about innovation. You know,
oh,
we need
yeah.
innovation
okay.
in transportation, in engines. And we have a company here, Harley-Davidson, that is still making machines that are 50 years old. Why aren't they? They're experts at two- and three-wheel vehicles. Why haven't they come up with a bubble car for us, fuel efficient?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we, you know, I'm talking about innovation here in transportation. And
okay.
you did a great show bringing people from Spain over to talk on the phones and stuff. And following up on that idea of transportation as the basis of a new industry and a new economy, I think is a great idea.
Okay.
So follow up with what you started.
Okay, Bruce.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Goodbye. Innovation and transportation. It's good. It's a good show. Mark from DePere. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Mark.
One of your callers just a few minutes ago mentioned regarding the health care bill now moving its way through Congress that it's being watered down by pharmaceutical companies and medical industry interests. I think a great idea for a show is, why do we allow that to happen? Certainly the issues are very complex and probably beyond the understanding of the average citizen, but we send our senators and representatives to Washington to handle these things on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we allow them to, why do we sit back and allow them to be influenced by business interests? And seemingly we sit back and grumble about it and do nothing about it. I suppose most people just feel powerless about it all. But after all, we send them there to act in our interests, and then they don't. Why do we put up with that?
You need to be in the audience for our healthcare remote from Frederick Hospital.
I'll be there for thank you. I'll consider that an invitation.
It is, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Jamie from Green Bay. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My concern is the swine flu coming back this fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could come back with a vengeance, they say. And of all the deaths that they've reported so far, I haven't heard. They may have reported it, but they've all said that everybody who's died so far from it has also had an underlying condition. But I've never heard what the people's underlying conditions were. And I thought that would be really helpful to know if it's like asthma. All the people with asthma might want to take extra precautions. But I've always just heard underlying condition.
Right.
I don't know if that's being protected for the privacy of the family, or if that's something that can be made public.
I know one of the cases was asthma. I don't think they have reported. I think you're right, because of the privacy of the family. As far as I know, one of the other ones, though, was no underlying causes at all. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't heard, and that's all I've ever heard is underlying causes. I thought, ooh, I want more information.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd put that in your hands.
We will. We'll do a show about that, because you're right. There are predictions that schools are going to be hard hit. We already had a letter from MPS saying, here is what's going to happen if there is a vaccine, make sure your child gets it. We're talking about vaccines at schools, et cetera. So people are on the lookout. There's no doubt about that. That would be a good show.
Great. Thanks.
All right, Jamie. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Bye. Joe is next from Soldiers Grove. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm a milkman. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I still can't figure out how they come up with the price of milk.
If you can't figure it out, nobody can, right, Joe?
I don't know if you can do something on that. I heard one time that farmers only getting like 40 cents a gallon at the store. I don't know where they come up with that.
Okay. Are you on a dairy farm now?
No, I'm on my route.
Oh, you're delivering milk.
I'm a milkman now.
Oh, you're actually delivering milk.
Picking up milk right now.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Oh, from farms or?
Yep, from farms. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So. And then where do you go with it?
This one, they travel all over the state here with milk. This one's actually going about 40 miles south into Belmont.
Uh-huh.
From the actual where you get them, pick up the milk. So, they move milk all across the state and even out of state.
Right.
So I don't know what their idea that way is. It doesn't seem too efficient.
Well, have you talked to the farmers you're picking the milk up from and asked them about this very question?
Oh yeah, they don't quite figure it out either. I guess the ones I talked to. Maybe somebody knows. They said that it goes by imports or the price of cheese, the price of whole milk. I don't know. I don't see how they come up with the price. And the price at the store doesn't seem to change that much. But on the farm, it's about half of what it was last year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Then it'd be a good. We need to broaden it a little beyond milk, but to talk about the cost of food and how it is priced and what's happening with milk and all of that. I'd hate to. I'm going to think about you, Joe, now driving around doing your job every day, wondering about the price of milk, and we need an answer for you.
Oh, great!
All right, thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Thank you. It'd be a good show, wouldn't it, if we brought in a little bit and look at the cost of food and how it's priced and subsidies for certain products and the whole – I mean, it is a complicated issue, the whole international aspect. I wasn't aware that farmers were getting that much less this year for milk than last year. So what's up? Dick from Eau Claire. Hi, Dick.
Hi. Great show again. I have three ideas, and one of them just relates to the last caller. And that is, have someone on that can address how do we, food commodities that are produced in Wisconsin, what do we do to market and keep those commodities in Wisconsin and available? For example, I spend a fair amount of time up in the Bayfield area. I can't get Lake Superior whitefish down here. All the tonnage goes to the East Coast, and I get Atlantic cod. It seems to me that there must be some ways that we, that the state could work together to do a better job of things that are produced being sold in the state and better promoted. And I know that's a complex issue, so whatever it would take to address that.
Okay.
The second is I recommend Dr. George Koo, who is at University of Indiana. He is the director of the National Survey of College Student Engagement and takes a look annually at what individuals who are in colleges and universities actually do with their time, what types of experiences they have. And one of the most interesting statistics is consistently 40% of students spend less than 2 hours per day in studies outside of class. Sidebar, I question with all the cuts in education to all the states, including Wisconsin, why spring break isn't being cut. It seems to be a really costly endeavor to the higher educational process.
Hmm.
So anyway, Dr. George Koo, and maybe throwing in that issue of spring break with all of the costs related to the efficiency and effectiveness of universities and the cost to people who travel and just its carbon footprint. The third thing, and that's related to the carbon footprint, is I've heard recently, and my utility is one of them, they're looking at raising rates because people aren't using enough electricity and natural gas. We're being encouraged to cut back, and when we cut back, the reward is, gee, you're not using enough, we have to raise your rates. And I'm wondering what the relationship is between energy savings and at what point the utilities in the state, when they purchase raw product, such as coal that they have to buy from a producer and then have it shipped by Burlington Northern to Wisconsin, at what point does the consumer really benefit? It seems to me that for consumers it's becoming a lose-lose situation. So those are my ideas.
Well, thank you, Dick. There are a variety of good ones. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Open line for the month of July is what's happening. 800-486-8655 is our number. Rich from Sullivan. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'd like to recommend an article in The New Yorker by Elizabeth Colbert called Why Are Americans Fat? It's actually a review of about 5 or 6 studies on obesity in the country. I think you could get ideas from that.
Great.
I also told your screener that I had, I confessed to him that I had gone to see the movie Bruno, which he said that's kind of a raunchy movie. And I said, that's an understatement. It's one long, dirty joke. But, and I laughed at it uproariously throughout. It's very coarse, very crude. But then reading some of the stuff that's been written about it, I've thought better about what the cultural implications are. and Anthony Lane has an essay in the same issue of the New Yorker. I also mentioned that November 10th is Marine Corps Day, the birthday of the Marine Corps. It's celebrated every year. And he said that you had just had a suggestion this morning about one of the most famous Marines of all time, Smedley Darlington Butler, who is the one who wrote War is a Racket. And so I would second that earlier caller's idea of something on Butler.
Okay.
Smedley Butler. So okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Rich.
Bye.
Bye. John from Green Bay. Oh, darn it, John. I'm so sorry. I cut you off. Call me back. Rachel from Muskego. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Great.
Good.
It's not as serious as some of the other calls. It's a little bit more fun, but my daughter and I are recent transplants, and we just love the state of Wisconsin. I mean, the people here are wonderful. The events are fun. The land is beautiful. We're so happy that we've moved. And I thought it'd be fun if other people called in and, people that have lived here all their lives, saying what they love about the state and, maybe interesting little things like, oh, this is the best little restaurant to go to, or, I have a great memory of being in this park in the wintertime, or this is the great place to go for this. And I mean, just what they really love about their state. And it'd be great for somebody like me to listen to it.
Oh, sure.
And, get ideas from the rest of my life here.
Great. Okay, where did you move from?
Richmond, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, as much as, it's a nice place, this is much nicer.
It is a nice place, isn't it? It's one of my favorite states, too.
They always talked about the South being friendly to people, but, you can't discount the Midwest.
All right.
The people, like I said, are just absolutely lovely here. It's a little bit quieter and, a live and let live sort of mentality that I love. Mm-hmm. Just a very, very nice place and lots of fun, lots of things going on here.
Yes, right. Okay, Rachel, that's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. We go next to Ron from Bellevue, Iowa. Hi, Ron.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Ron.
Yes, I love Ed Garvey. And if you could simply have him a dedicated hour, either with you or Joy, once a week. I love that Friday roundup. And when he's on, I'm glued. I think he just got something going for him. And his sense of humor is so great. If you could just say, today we're going to talk to Ed Garvey for an hour.
You'd be listening. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, if you could do maybe a retrospective on David Halberstam.
Oh, okay.
Because I've read just about everything he's written, and it was really tragic the way he died.
Yes, it was.
He's a real loss to the to journalism, to press, to a view of life. Anyway, yeah, Ed Garvey. If you can, I know he's probably a very busy guy, but if you could just today we're going to talk to Ed Garvey for an hour. And just don't throw him any softballs.
Gotcha, Ron. He can handle it. I know. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, we don't use Ed very much because he's been on with Joy. But, I guess it's okay every now and then to have Ed on. I agree. He's got the gift, right? He's got the gift. Let's go to Nate next from Boscobel. Hi, Nate.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. My idea is that I'd like to hear a representative from the big three motor companies in the U.S. explaining why they are not using the alternative energy sources that are currently available. I know there's a guy in Linden who actually runs his cars on charcoal.
Really?
He burns the charcoal down into creosote, and the creosote burns just like regular gasoline. And then there's also a guy in France who has actually built a automobile that runs on compressed air. It's called the Air Car. Anyone can go to www.aircar.com and find out all the information on that.
Okay.
So there's plenty of alternate sources already currently available. Another source is vegetable oil. You can run a regular diesel engine on vegetable oil.
Right.
So I'd like to hear an explanation on why they motor companies aren't using, though, what's currently available.
Okay, Nate. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Okay, bye. John from Green Bay is next. Hi, John.
Hi, Kathleen. We got disconnected last time. I'm sorry about that.
No, it was me. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, I had a suggestion, especially with the anniversary of the Stonewall riots last month and the gay rights push around the country of late. There's an interesting, there might be an interesting different take on that. There's an independent movie called Outrage, and it seeks to expose the secret lives of politicians who speak, who are publicly opposed to gay rights and gay equality, and then in their private lives and sometimes behind the backs of their families, go off and have gay experiences and, you know, and flings. You know, it's a movie called Outrage, and it actually focuses on several prominent politicians and on the state and, I believe, national level as well. So that might be a very controversial but interesting topic.
Okay.
And I'm calling from work, so I can email you their website because I don't have access to a computer right now. But that might be an interesting topic for a show.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. We go to George from Milwaukee next. Hi, George.
Yeah, good morning. Real good article in the New Yorker from June 29th about a NASA scientist by the name of James Hansen. Hansen heads up the Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York City. And he's been very, very concerned about global warming and has even a more dire way of looking at it based on most recent predictions than we've seen so far. And I think he'd probably be available for talking on the radio because I know he's trying to get the message out. He's even being arrested in front of coal-fired plants that are under new construction, and he's gone totally activist from being more of a pure scientist.
Hmm. Okay, June 29th, you said?
Sure. June 29th, New Yorker. Right.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
Sure.
Thank you. We have one line open. And what's happening is that you're listening to an open line. Suggestions of ideas for programs, books, authors, ideas, great thoughts that we can put on the air from 9 to 11. So here's the phone number, 800-486-8655. Or if you would like to send an email after the show, send it to Rhonda and me, Rhonda's email address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org, and mine is Dunn-K, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. Tomorrow, President Obama is having a major press conference. As one of our guests was saying yesterday, it's all Obama all the time this week as he presses for health care reform. We'll be carrying that press conference from 8 o'clock until it ends tomorrow night. Madeline Brand will host the coverage. Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and health policy correspondent Julie Rovner, will be there too. So that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, Boys and Books. Our guest, who is a very well-known author of adolescent and young adult books, says, "We have done boys a fundamental disservice by failing to publish more books that address their genuine interests. Go into any classroom and ask boys what they like to do, make a list, and then take that down to the library and see how many chapter books and novels you can find on these topics. The gap is huge." That's the second hour of our program today. All right. Joan is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. You have to tell your new music producer that jolt of music really keeps us alive. You may not have heard it, but she is interjecting music between your sections. I have three suggestions. One, Harvey Wasserman, who wrote The Last Energy War, the battle over utility deregulation. Not a lot of people are aware that The Last Energy War tells about America's electric power industry erupting from a few Cleveland streets to a $200 billion a year monstrosity, as FDR used to call it. Waging constant war against public ownership, the industry could have gone solar in the 50s, but opted for a trillion-dollar dead-end atomic energy. Harvey Wasserman is truly an original, said Studs Terkel. It's a little book that I just happened to pick up and read, The Last Energy War, The Battle Over Utility Deregulation by Harvey Wasserman. And the other, I don't know if you have had Dr. Ricky Ott on or not. She is from Milwaukee. She is a fantastic woman who wrote two books on water and Valdez up in Alaska. Sound Truth and Corporate Myth, The Legacy of the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill. She stuck with it and has written a fantastic expose of what really happened up there and the ramifications of that oil spill. And they're getting away with out paying for cleaning it up. Sound Truth and Corporate Myths, Not One Drop, Dr. Ricky Ott. And the third is The Great Lakes. I don't know, have you had Peter Annan on?
I don't think so, no.
He wrote The Great Lakes Water Wars. And with the piece in the Journal this morning, which leaves a big question still on whether or not Milwaukee is going to somehow have its water taken over and privatized, by under-the-table dealings with, it's such a huge industry. So much money can be made from water. But Peter Annan also helped my friend Ben Logan get his land put into the Nature Conservancy. But it's The Great Lakes Water Wars by Peter Annan. And
okay.
It's a fantastic book. And did you do animals? The gal who wrote about animals and autism.
Yes, we've had her on.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's good. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Joan. Okay, let's go next to Ryan from Oshkosh. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi.
I've just always thought it would be really nice to hear about the trade-offs when we lose American jobs, what we are trading that off for in terms of executive opulence and, just perks, marble-plated, boardrooms and just general opulence. And what we really trade off, one of your sound bites for your promos, it says the competition from the executive suite. And I think that's very true, and I think it would really be a service in helping people choose which products they buy if they knew that American jobs were being shipped away so that the executive suite can go to Maui.
Okay.
Or such.
Gotcha. Thanks, Ryan. Sonia's next from Menominee Falls. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
2 weeks ago, Bill Moyers had a guest. He was a former CEO from a big insurance company. And he saw people lining up for free health care in Virginia, and he was just so touched, and he decided to go on air and speak out what's going on with the insurance companies. So it would be fantastic if you could get this man. He's just exciting and honest and an eye-opener for us, and it would fit well into your healthcare program.
Yes, it would. You know, I've heard about this, Sonia. Do you remember his name?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. But it was 2 weeks ago, Friday night, with Bill Moyers.
2 weeks ago. I've heard that it was a great show.
It was fantastic, and it would be so good if you could get him on.
Okay, we're on it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sonia. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Where did I put that piece of paper that talks about Appleton? I wanted to remind you that we're going to be in Appleton. Oh, I found it. On Thursday. So if you're there, you know, it'd be fun. We're going to have lunch, and we're going to talk about lots of different things. Our show will broadcast live 9 to 11 this Thursday from the History Museum at the Castle. Professor George Waller from the Department of Political Science at UW Fox Valley and Professor of Government from Lawrence University, Jason Brozek, will be joining us. That will be the day after President Obama's press conference where he'll be talking about health care reform for a good chunk of it and the economy for a good chunk of it as well. We will also be speaking with the director of the Barlow Planetarium. So astronomy and Barlow's Bad Astronomy summer program will be on the agenda for the second hour of the program. Tickets to attend the live broadcast are $15. And if you'd like more information about the broadcast, please call this number, 800-749-3906. 800-749-3906. So we'll chat for a while and have a light lunch, and it will be a good time. Okay, let's go next to Scott from Madison. Hello, Scott.
Yeah, hi, Kathleen. The answer to your question is Wendell Potter. That's the man, the exec at Cigna, who was on Bill Moyer's show.
Oh, wait, thank you. What's his name?
Wendell, W-E-N-D-E-L-L,
okay.
Potter.
Potter.
He's amazing. And if you go on the web, you can both hear him on a couple of – he's all over the place. So if you just put in Wendell Potter, Cigna, you'll get a zillion hits.
Wonderful. Okay. Good.
Yeah. And then a very good guest would be Dr. Cynthia Hock regarding health care. She was the director of the World Health Organization. She's actually here in Madison. She's the chair of the medical school of the family medicine.
Oh, really?
Very great experience in international health care.
Oh, that's great.
Systems.
Yeah.
Lived all over the world.
Marvelous.
She's extremely bright, articulate, wonderful person.
Marvelous. We're doing that series, so she'd be perfect. How do you spell her last name?
H-A-Q.
Oh, it's good I asked. I never would have gone that direction. H-A-Q. Oh, that's great.
And then one last thing that I don't know if you're aware of. This Saturday, there's going to be a huge healthcare rally in Madison. Starting at 2:30 at the Library Mall, they're going to be marching up up State Street to the Capitol. Tammy Baldwin will be there, who would also be a great guest for you. She's an incredible advocate for healthcare reform.
Okay.
She was, I don't know if you know of Ed Schultz. He was just in Madison, and she was on his stage.
Sure.
And what she said was just right on, and she would be a great guest. But the rally, there are going to be thousands of people there. It's going to be televised. It's a huge event. And so if people get there at 2:30, they can march up State Street, go to the Capitol. At 3 o'clock, there'll be some speeches and some people telling their own personal stories. The Mama Dig Downs group will be playing there. And then there'll be some action events where people can actually get involved.
Okay. Well, thank you. You've given me valuable suggestions here.
Sure.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Bye-bye. Bye. We go next to Kurt from... Where are you from, Kurt?
A town called Avoca.
Where is that?
Close to Spring Green.
Oh, okay. Pretty part of the state.
Pardon me?
Pretty part of the state.
Oh, beautiful. I wanted to suggest there's an investigative journalist and author by the name of Michael Rupert, R-U-P-P-E-R-T. he's written one book in particular called Crossing the Rubicon, which is extremely well-documented, very in-depth, ties together the world's depleting oil supply with the various... wars that are going on, positioning of troops because of the dwindling oil supply, and how that ties in with the economy, which prior callers brought up, as well as world food supplies, so on and so forth. Very, very knowledgeable, in-depth study.
Okay. Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt. Time just got away from us, huh? It's almost time to say goodbye, but not quite. Dave from Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
Oh, hi. I was really hoping that you could get Representative Ron Kind from the 3rd District to come on the program and explain to the voters of La Crosse and the listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio why he opposes getting a health reform through Congress, and why he doesn't want a public option. And I would really like to listen to that, because I don't think people voted for him to oppose getting health care done.
Okay. This health care thing is just an incredible debate in this country, isn't it? It's gone on for so long. It is so hard to make changes. It just... Even though so many people are negatively affected now, it just floors me.
Well...
But...
With a Republican like, or a Democrat like Ron Kind, I guess We don't really need Republicans.
Well, we're going to do a major conference on this. I think you ought to email the White House and tell them to send the president. Okay. Actually, we will. We'll make that request as soon as we get organized here this afternoon. Thank you very much for the call. We will be inviting members of Congress to be on the panel for that healthcare conference. You may want to just mark it down. It's going to be a live remote, full 2 hours from Frederick on September 16, and we'll have all kinds of representatives from insurance industry and Republicans and Democrats and doctors and uninsured people and nurses and you name it. It will be a very important conference, and we'll tell you more about it as we get closer and invite you, of course, to attend. Well, I guess that's it. Here are our email addresses. Once again, Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. And mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org, in case you didn't get through or you have something else you won't remember after you were on the air. Give us a little note, and we'll be happy to give it our consideration. Thanks to John Treader for answering the many phone calls this hour, and thanks for all of your many phone calls this hour. News is coming out from National Public Radio, and Boys in Reading, our next conversation.